Hey, what's up, everybody? Juan Martinez, a.k.a. Dr. Love, and you've just joined us on This Is Real.
Hey, everybody, how's it going? Thank you again for tuning in to another episode of This Is Real, a show with real people, real problems, and real solutions. And guess what? In the house. Well, I know the studio. First of all, the studio looks a little different before I introduce the guests. We are like in an audible play. We pretty much got robbed past weekend of all our equipment, everything. But I believe it's going to be a That's Crazy, No, That's God story. So, you know, just stay tuned for what God is going to do. So the team actually pretty much set everything up, because when you got this brother coming into town, you know, and you're going to do a podcast, you're going to do an audible play. And we wound up in the middle of the sanctuary in the church. They pushed all the chairs back. The team made it happen, because that's kind of, I guess, in the streets, you know, when you was looking for like weed or something, you know, you didn't give up. You kind of went after it. And sometimes I feel like in Christianity, we want to give up too quick. But we didn't quit. You already got that in you from before, right?
That's
so
right.
All the way from New York City. This is going to be special, because not only do we have Brother John, you know, I like calling him my older brother, but, you know, we got John Ramirez. And guess what? Over there in the end, we got George Ramirez, man.
Yep.
Okay, well, hold on.
New York.
Yeah, I'm still the younger, right? Because you guys are still older.
I'm 58.
Yeah, yeah, I'm the younger brother. Thank you, Lord.
You look like the older one.
Still, no, he's older. You're the middle. I'm the younger one, man. Come on, baby. And so, okay, so welcome to the This Is Real show, man. How you guys doing? How was your flight?
Good. Flight was good. A little bumpy here and there, but, you know, thank God we got here. So we here to, you know, do what God calls us to do, and love coming here because this is family.
This
get
is dope.
Get Rap is family.
That's cool. Yes. So, okay, I was asking you before, how many books you got right now?
I'm going on 10.
10
books. October 1st, my 10th book be out. I published that one.
Yeah. That's coming out October, this October. They're going to be able to go on Amazon right now and kind of go get it.
I think in a couple of days they could pre-order it, but then it'll be physically closer to October. It'll be in stores and
in
whatnot.
Stores and all that. Mm-hmm. That's kind of dope. Okay, so is that like a part two to a part one? Because this is the book. This is the one, the last one.
Yeah, that's the ninth book.
You remember all the names of all the books?
Sometimes I struggle.
Yeah, because that's a lot of books.
Yeah, it's a lot of books.
It's a lot of books.
And sometimes there's so much going on in the books that you're like, okay, this part is in this book or this part is in that book.
Oh, no, totally. Yeah, they start going on. Yeah. Okay, so George, man, hold on. So I'll go to George in a minute, because I got like four questions in my mind going through right now. But so this Exposing the Devil's Playbook, what was this? What's this book about?
Well, that book is basically teaching Christians the methods of the enemy, right?
Yeah.
Because in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, God has strategies,
mm-hmm.
right? And the devil has methods. So the method of the devil is just, he doesn't have strategies. When you have strategy, that God can, you can be in a church service.
Yeah.
It'd be 5,000 people, mm-hmm. and two people from different sides of the spectrum, they can say, oh, that message was for me. God was speaking to me.
Yeah.
So God's strategies are so diverse and so out of the box that he can speak to many people at one time personally. Think about it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The devil's methods is he will clean on generational bloodline curses, witchcraft, open doors.
And
it's the same thing over and over and over. He just dressed it up different, but there's the same method. God can bless you with different strategies in so different ways that it would just blow your mind.
Yeah.
So this book is basically how the devil's methods operate against the Church of Jesus Christ today.
Yeah, that's what I love about you. Since I've met you, you've always been the guy that is trying to kind of set people free. It doesn't matter where you go. It could be the mall. It could be where we were at Indian Reservation. It doesn't matter where we're at.
Yeah, we're going back there again.
We're going back there again. That's going to be fire. I got a question, George, because most of the time, I got a lot of questions for John. But, okay, so back in the day, John, you were... Tell the people, because some people might not know who you were, because even though you
I was a third in ranked devil worshipper warlock, right? Because a warlock means warlock. I had a position in the kingdom of darkness from operating from the second heaven, first heaven, territory spirits on the ground. And I operated from regents and atmospheres combined in order to move the kingdom of the devil into existence. That was okay. And I was an evangelist for the dark side. I would recruit people to the dark side.
You were sharing the what seemed to be good news, but really was bad news.
It was
because,
a disaster.
We have the good news now.
No, but I was sharing the counterfeit.
Yeah, you were sharing the counterfeit. While this is going on, because this is the part I don't think, I'm actually excited that you're on the set, George.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, without a doubt, man. I think it's time from this standpoint, because, you know, I've been hanging out with John. Oh, know his story, you know, also understand the New York vibe, right? But like when it comes to you, when he was doing all the devil worshiping, what were you doing?
Making money.
Talk to me. Like,
making money
does that look
in the streets,
like?
Selling drugs, hitting strip clubs, hanging out.
So you had the street life.
Yeah. To me, at the time, was a great life.
See, like, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
so
it was a really
so you
good
saved
life.
Now.
Yeah, I'm saved now. I'm good.
When did you get saved?
When Jesus spoke to me.
Last August, right?
Church yeah, but when he spoke to me, I went to, look how funny this is, right? I was going through a bad breakup. My wife left me, so I was depressed. I was suicidal. I was thinking about killing myself, killing her, you know. And then my friend told me, come stay with me. And I said, no, I'm going to grind it out in there eventually. So God opened up the doors for me. I got my own place. Being in my place, I was sleeping on the floor. I had no furniture. I heard a voice when I was sleeping. It was like, it was crazy. I never experienced this in my life.
Yeah.
Now you're going to be in a better place. I need you to, when you wake up, go talk to your mother. I was bugging in my dream, telling me take care of her, spend time with her, be there for her, and take everywhere she needs to go. I spoke to my mother, and I told her the story. She panicked. 2 weeks later, my mother calls me. I got to talk to you. I've been having a pain for the last 6 months, and I haven't told nobody. I took her to the hospital. I was there like 10 hours. That's when they hit her with the cancer.
Wow.
And God tell me, you're going to move in with her. Look how gangster God is. When I was going through that turmoil, my mother asked me, come live with me, save up money, and get your own place.
Yeah.
I said, I can't live with you. I'm going backwards. I'm a grown man. Which grown man gonna live with their mother? So I was bouncing around. Mm-hmm. And when God spoke to me, then 2 weeks later, I moved in with my mother.
Wow. Yep.
That's crazy.
And no, then, that's God.
Yes, yes, it is.
Yes.
Hey.
Yes.
And let me tell you another quick thing. When I moved in with my mother, a year later, she got set free from cancer like 8 months later. So I went back to my place. Then when I took my mother I kept taking her for a checkup and all that, the cancer came back. The doctor told me it's aggressive, it's worse than the first time. My mother started crying. She said, you going to move back in with me? I said, yeah, tonight.
Wow.
I stood with my mother for 23 months and she died in my arms.
Y'all's mom just passed away.
January 6th. And we buried her January 14th. She died. Bro, it gets me emotional. Because I used to see my mother every day from 12 o'clock in the afternoon to 10 o'clock at night. I would be in the hospital. And she'll close her eyes. She was drugged up, you know, medication. Mm-hmm. She told me, go home, Papi, go eat, you know, take a shower, change. And they called me at 9:30 in the morning, January 6th. And they said, listen, your mother took a turn for the worse, for the worse. Get here as soon as possible. I got there within 30 minutes, and my mother died at 12:15. It's like she was waiting for me. She knew I would come every day from 12 to 10.
Wow.
She died at 12:15.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And so your mom got to see you sober, though.
Yes.
She got to see you sober.
Yeah, man.
She got
bro.
To see you transformed.
Bro, it was amazing, man. Juan, it was amazing. Like a week before my mother died, I went to the hospital. She said, and I was leaving, right? It was like 9:45. Mm-hmm. And she said, Yolito. I turned around. Ven acá, te quiero hablar. She said, promise me one thing. Don't do drugs. Don't drink. Don't mess up your life. I'm going to die. I'm not going to live. I can't beat this. Nobody loves you like me. I took care of you. I visited you in jail every 2 weeks for 7 years.
Yeah.
I was there for you. Nobody cares about you. John is in California. Your other brother's in Florida. You're going to die in jail or die in the streets. Take care. You're dying. She died a week later. Dying, worrying about me. A grown man.
Yep.
She evangelized. She got to evangelize you even on her death.
Yep. Yeah, man. And I'm so proud that God gave me the honor to take care of us, sober up. People can't believe how I stopped getting high and drinking overnight. People cannot believe it.
Yeah.
People be like, yo, all that coke you sniff, all them shots and bottles of liquor, how you stop? God. Mm-hmm. When I had that dream and I moved in with my mother, I didn't have no rehab. Oh, I'm going to stop slowly. I stopped cold turkey.
But go and sin no more.
The Lord
so my
that.
Mother says to me, bro, you've done a great job. God loves you. I love you. You done God work. Keep it on. Follow your brother. Don't distance yourself. You know, you think too much. My mother spoke to me right before she died, and I've been clean ever since, man.
And yep. So you knew your brother in his state, right? Like, yep. When he was doing his thing.
I'm blessed.
And so you knew your brother. Were you guys, yep, like homies rocking it?
Oh, no.
Or were y'all,
no,
like enemies?
No, I didn't speak to him for 5 years.
We were in the
I wanted to kill him half of the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, because you were already, well, what bothered you most is when you get, so you're saved and you're doing gospel things, and that's when y'all are bumping heads?
No, no. We were bumping heads way before that.
Yeah.
Before, when we were in the world. I mean, I was in the demonic kingdom, and he, you know, he was doing his thing.
I was in my own life. Yes.
And, you know, and we crashed. We didn't. Then when I got saved, I tried to preach to him a few times, and he would change. Every couple of months, he'd change his cell phone number.
Bro, it was amazing. Because no, every time I change my number, I give it to my mom's. My mom's will give it right back to him. Now I got to spend another $35 to change it. Yo, wow, stop drinking monkey juice. God loves you. Get out of them.
So
bonds.
You stayed on him. God loves you.
Yeah,
God loves you.
Yeah, yep, but it was annoying.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, to you, of course,
to
right?
Me, it's annoying. Yeah. I'm lost.
You sound like that now to your friends.
Yeah. Bro, you know what they call me? What? Fake pastor.
Yeah?
Yeah. Look who's talking. Friend. The guy that used to close down the bars. You're a fake pastor. That's what they call me. I said, I'm not even a pastor.
That's his name.
Yo, because nobody. When my friends first saw me and I walked in and they were like having like a sweet 16 for one of the daughters, and I took Ruthie to kind of meet some of them.
Yeah.
And so they invited me and I went in. They all had the Coronas and the Heinekens, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And when I was walking in, because they don't understand, right? They really don't understand. They don't have this relationship with Jesus. They know that there's a God. They know the Catholic Church, and they know like movies, right?
Yeah.
When I was walking in, it's me and Ruthie walking in. They all standing there, you know, and they have their beers, and they say, "Ah, we're burning." I'm like, "Burning from what, bro?" I'm like, "Y'all are tripping out. Y'all ain't burning. Like, y'all gonna burn if y'all don't listen."
Not yet.
Not yet. You ain't burning
now.
But it's just lack of knowledge, right?
Bro, let me tell you something.
Or they're speaking something into your life that you're going to be. Watch out.
One of the person I used to always hang out with is a high school principal, right? She had a birthday party at a restaurant. So I stopped by because me and her was closest. You know what everybody said when I walked in? Yeah, he's back. Yeah, look at him. He's back. Get him his drink. He's back. Yeah, man, we miss you. I said, bro, I come here to say happy birthday to him.
So how long you got high for and all that? Did you prison time?
Yeah, I did massive prison time. I did a year, 2.5, and 7.5.
7.5.
Yeah, I did 7.
Your last bit was 7.5.
7.5.
For what?
Attempted murder.
Wow.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I was lost, bro.
So you almost.
Bro, I used to throw away the garbage can in my house with a 9mm in my pocket and a clip in my other pocket. Bro, people used to knock on my door. Yo, we're going to kill your brother with machine guns. Where's he at? We're going to kill him. They were looking for me everywhere to kill me.
I'm still here.
This is only what God. I'm saying to people only about God. How only real God. God is. Bro, now that I think about it, God been with me from day one.
Bro, they shot at me. So you left him. You were running.
Bro, my
from
whole
God.
Family's always been religious. Well, but in the witchcraft. But my mother was a great woman. Then he converted. Then my brother stopped converting. I was the only lost soul. I was having too much fun at the time.
You thought it was fun. Because seven and a half years wasn't too.
Nah, it wasn't. It wasn't. But I'm going to tell you, everything that happened to me, I would not change for nothing in the world. For the simple reason that it made me who I am now. So I have no regrets. Because if it wasn't for that lifestyle, I wouldn't be sitting here right now.
But you're saying that because you made the choice. Right? Because you didn't. You weren't granted. You get what I'm saying? Like, you might have not came out. Somebody right now is like, I still got time to party.
To this question.
Yes.
You get what I'm saying? So
you're right.
Everybody doesn't have your story.
Yes.
Right? Like somebody else right now, they're listening. They're like, oh, yeah, well, you know, I still got time. You don't know.
No,
you might
I was living a borrowed time for the simple reason. For the simple reason that the way I look at it now, I knew God had a plan for me.
He got shot at.
Yeah.
From 5 feet away.
5 feet away. And the guy missed. And the guy had four bodies. So they was going to kill the guy that shot at me because they thought he was scared of me because I was ruthless. Yo, I didn't care if you lived down the block from me. I
shot him five times. How many times he shot at you?
You shot at me seven times.
Seven times, close range, 5 feet away, all the bullets miss.
Yeah. This is going to be a corny joke, but I got to say this. I was roof lifts too until I met Ruthie.
No, you didn't mean Ruthie. You made Baby Roof.
Baby Roof. I was there and I became Ruthful.
Yeah.
And fruitful.
But, you know, it just, to me, it's a beautiful life, man. I am so grateful and humble. Man, I love God so much. That's what I talk about all day long is Jesus Christ.
How did you, okay. It's okay. So boom, you're doing your thing. He's the God voice in your life for a while.
Yes.
Then all of a sudden, boom, you accept it. How do you guys start talking? When do you realize, man, John was for, right? Because at first he was annoying.
He was annoying. Not because wasn't he was the word I wanted to Jesus, beat him
Jesus,
up.
You were really saying Jesus was annoying.
Yeah.
But finally, when did you finally go, okay, John? Like, when did y'all finally, like,
no,
have that
conversation?
Remember
I lost my eyesight?
Yeah.
And then he started coming with me to my doctor's appointment, my surgeries.
Because that's something you've been going through, right? Because some people might not know because they didn't see you for a while.
About a year ago, I had two semi-cornea transplant, and he started to come with me, and he started to see in my life, he started to see Jesus.
Mm. Yes.
Because he would say, I don't know how you go through this stuff. I don't know how you have peace and how you take it so lightly. And how you you have so much self-control and not, you know, getting angry. Or
yes,
this
yes,
and that.
That's the big
and then
point, angry.
We were staying in the same hotel room, and then I had to sleep a certain way.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're semi-cornea transplant, they need to settle in. And he would say, how could you sleep that way? It's uncomfortable and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So he saw the process of
big time.
Me going through a dark time.
In Christ.
Dark time in Christ through my eyesight, eyesight, and he saw the process of me trusting God. And no matter what, I would talk about God, and I was always, had the peace of joy of the Holy Spirit in me, even though I was going through a dark time. And he would see that, and that would minister to him.
That's what, let me tell you something, not to cut you off.
No, you're good.
That's what blew me away. Yo, I used to feel bad for him, and this guy was happy. He couldn't even see. Walking place, he could bump into something. I would have to guide him to go to the restaurant and sit down. I was miserable for him, and he was happy. Like, don't worry about it. God got planned for me. God is not going to let me down. I was, like, blown away. Like, wow, this guy's blind. And he's taking it like nothing. You know how hard it is for you to see your whole life and then to lose your eyesight? It's not like you're born with it, then you get accustomed. It's insane.
Yeah.
So he saw the fruit of the spirit. And in a difficult time.
So he was showing you sight, even though he couldn't see.
Bro, he showed me so much, man. I'm going to tell you that I am a true believer. God is real.
Then he started traveling with me when my eyesight came back. And then, you know, how people stop you at the airport, stop you here. Today, we got two people stop me. I don't know what.
Yes, man.
And he's like blown away by that.
And I used to call him. Like, and I felt so privileged. Because when I started traveling with him, people used to tell me, yo, that's your brother for real, your brother in Christ. I said, no, my brother for real.
They should be two like, brothers.
They was like, can you call him anytime you want? I said, yeah. Sometimes I get tired of him calling me. Oh, man, I wish I could call him. I would love to talk to him 2-3 times a day.
Hey, what a perspective.
And I started to realize, look how blessed you are. Embrace it. What's wrong with you?
That's because they're honoring pretty much the man of God, and you were still just seeing him as John, your brother.
Yeah, my brother.
Clark Kent.
You've been to his house? I said, yeah, whenever I want. Are you serious? I don't even want to go to his house. I got my own house. How about that? You know?
Yeah.
But now I see it and I love it. Yo, when they stop.
Because you understand.
When they stop him in the airport, I'll be in tears. I'm so overwhelmed that I'm related to this guy. And he changed my life around, man.
But that's what God does.
Hey, he gets a better tan, though.
Yeah. Oh, he just got back from Puerto Rico.
I just got back from Puerto Rico Monday.
Yeah.
Hey, look.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's amazing, man. Let me tell you a quick story, right? I'm coming out the projects, 183rd in Katrina, and this guy tells me, yo, dude, a car just rolled up, flexing them, Rocksteady crew. They're going to kill you. They heard you rob one of their workers for $800. I was like, look, bro, I'm ready for them, whatever. You know what the kid told me? Yo, I love you, bro. What are you doing? I said, I'm going to the store to buy me some Old English.
Not Old E. Not a 40.
Yeah, 40 ounce. I was ready to get blistered. Uh-huh. So the guy tells me, let me go for you, bro. I love you. We grew up together. You know that the guy went to the store to pick up the beer for me on the way out. A suit I broke out, a bullet hit him in his face. He dropped dead with my beer, bro. I'm telling you, man, I've been through a lot. Jesus is real. Look where I'm at. I would never get on a plane. I haven't flown in 30 years. Now I've been everywhere.
When we used to take, when we first got on the plane to go to my eyesight thing, you know, because I had to go to my appointment, my mother would give him a pill, you know, to calm him down.
Calm my anxiety
and
down.
He'll take, he'll take the pill, and I'm like, I'm talking like this. And I said, well, what do you think, George?
Wow.
This guy would take pictures of me. Yo, you know this well? Because I just recently lost like 50 pounds.
Yeah, he's gone. I'm like,
you don't take your care.
I'm like, who am I talking to? This dude's he's dead over here. And then I told him, hey, listen, if the plane's going to crash, whether you're asleep or you're up, it's still going to crash. So, and he said, you know why? You're right. I'm not taking that pill no more. I'm going to trust Jesus.
That's it, man.
And this is the longest flight so far, 4 hours getting here today.
And not only that, I called them 2 days ago and said to them, listen, I'm ready. I spoke to Jesus. I've been doing a lot of praying. I'm ready to fly by myself. I don't want you flying with me no more.
Yeah,
I'm
you're refreshing, over. George. Man.
I'm taking it's over.
Good. In other words, he was saying, you don't have to come pick me up anymore.
Yeah, I'm not
you
know, a little
You don't
kid.
Have to
I'm
babysit me.
Yeah.
We just fly to this. We go to the same place. I just take. If you're in California,
I'll just meet you there.
And all that because
he flies 5 hours to New York, picks me up, then fly 4 hours here. You could have just went from California here.
Yeah, I'm the younger brother. He makes me fly. like, hey man,
can you drive here?
Huh?
Can you drive back
to New York? Yeah, I mean you can.
It's gonna be a long
drive. It's gonna be a long
drive back to New York in that car.
Hey, okay, so. Let me ask you another question. So when he was doing all the witchcraft, because you mentioned something like your family, did you ever dabble in some of the witchcraft and stuff? Or
never.
You were just pretty much in the drug
never.
Stuff?
No, never.
He was always in the street.
I was always in the streets. Man. I had a crazy life. And the point is that I did it to myself.
Well, pharmakia, with a lot of the drugs and stuff, it's kind of like a form of witchcraft.
Even
when you're like you're serving people drugs.
Well,
even
if you're selling drugs, doing drugs, you're still part of the devil's kingdom.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, it doesn't matter. You're just playing. It's like saying, you know, you're playing for the same team. You might be playing shortstop or right field, but you're still playing for the devil.
Oh, no, totally.
You know, so it's not like, you know.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing. It's just a different format.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing real quick.
Yeah.
That, one day I'm in my house, right?
He did the John. It's funny. I hear the John. He's like, let me tell you one thing real quick.
Yeah, real quick. Check it out. I was in my house sleeping practically. My brother from Florida calls me.
Yeah.
He said, hysterical crying. He tells me, yo, I got to talk to you. Hysterical crying. I freaked out. Yo, what's up? You all right? I'll take a flight over there. While I drive.
How's the one in Florida?
He's younger. He's the youngest.
Yeah, he's 57.
Okay.
Yeah, he's younger.
Still the younger brother.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So it's crazy. He's hysterical crying. And I said, yo, but what's wrong with you? He said, I can't get the words out. But 2 weeks ago, I had a dream with God. And he'd been telling me to call you and to warn you. That I don't want your blood in my hands. I'm like, what? If I'm gonna die or something? He said, no, I don't want your blood in my hands. Call John. Please listen to us. Call John. So when I called John, I explained to John. John said, I already knew that, man. You're gonna be traveling with me. You know, God wants me to help you get saved.
John's cool, calm, and collective, right? John's old, like everybody could be
But
like,
let me tell you something. Now he is, because he was a pain too.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm related to him. But I tell you, I don't know how he deals with it. This is what keeps me motivated. There's got to be a way. Because I be getting aggravated for him. He's like, you got to calm down. See, you got to tone your voice. You're a Christian now. You can't talk like that. I'll be ready to flip out. I'll be ready to flip out. Sometimes I lose it. I ain't going to lie. I lose it. And I'll be like, how you stay so calm, man? It blows me away. Like, sometimes I call him, yo, I had a hard day, man. Listen, I'm ready to flip out. I'm going to punch somebody in the face. He'd be like, yo, calm down. You know what? I'm going to call you back in a half an hour. Calm down. He calls me down, talks to me, and I'm good. I'm ready to flip out.
He just changed his number 2 days ago.
Two days ago, I changed my number. I cut everybody off. I told him I'm about to hurt somebody.
I said, the Lord spoke to me, change your number. If you change your number, it's progress moving forward.
Yeah.
And you a new season.
So would you say, I mean, it's refreshing because I see like you're, you know, obviously you haven't had like a 10-year walk, 5-year walk, but you're still moving forward.
Bro, I had the same number for 13 years.
But this is the crazy part. This is the crazy part. Let me give you the crazy part.
Yeah, give me the crazy part.
When I was a devil worshiper back BC before Christ, every time I called him, he changed the number in a heartbeat, right? Look how the devil works.
I was hiding from him.
But let me. Right, he changed his number like man, the drop of a hat. This dude would change his number like probably five times in a year, right?
Yeah.
And he had no problem with that. Now you're in Christ. That's why he changed your number. I don't know. I have the number for 13 years. I don't know how to change it. I don't know. I had it for 13 years.
Yeah.
I said, dude, you see how the devil works in your mind? You see how the devil manipulates your mind? How he controls your mind by putting these really psychotic thoughts in your mind and making them reasonable.
Oh, yeah.
In your mind. So I can't change my number now because I had it for 13. But when you're in the world, you would change it like five times in a year.
Totally.
So you see how they never play mind games with
people. All day long. Because when we were in the world, like, that's what I was saying even earlier, right? When it's almost like when people get saved, because I'm always telling guys at the church this, right? Like, when you were in the world, whether you were chasing drugs, whether you were chasing money, whatever, you did it to almost, you could almost die trying to obtain it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you did, yes.
But then, you know, so you've been shot at, you know, yeah. Stabbed, right?
Yeah.
You did all these things. You stood up late. Now, you know, people get saved. They come to church. They're like, oh, I can't read my Bible. You know, it's too hot. And it's like, too hot? Bro, you ran for 2 hours to try to go.
You know what I call those Christians? Doorman.
Doorman.
Doorman, the one that wears the white gloves.
Oh, the doorman.
Yeah, doorman with the white gloves. Yeah. Everything, you know, has to be like, you know, now you're softy.
Oh, you're not
right, but when you're in the world, you know, you put your life on the line for things that didn't matter.
That were killing you. That stole you from your family, everything.
It destroyed your life. It stole your time, your life, everything. And then now you're in Christ, you can use the same self, transform, and be aggressive against the things of the enemy that's stopping you from God's best.
All day long. Hey, listen, you got this book. You got I know we're not going to jump. Maybe we'll do a different show on another time of exposing the devil's playbook, because the next one is part two of exposing the devil's playbook, right?
No. That one is devil's playbook. I did that with Charisma House with you. We had Charisma together. Yep. And then the one
that's coming out in October.
The one that's coming out in October is called The Next Chapter Out of the Devil's Cauldron, which
the
is
my next chapter
out of the Devil's Cauldron. Yeah, which is my first chapter. My first book is Out of the Devil's Cauldron. That's my testimony.
That's your testimony.
Yeah, and this one is what God done in my life on the other side of the cross.
On the other side of the cross. That's going to be fire.
Yeah, so that says, I think it's for people to see that if God holds the pen of your story, you have no regrets. But then it's called The Next Chapter. It's called The Next Chapter Out of the Devil's Cauldron, on the other side of the cross, because I crossed over to the other side of the cross.
That's phenomenal.
And then we got all the things that God did around the world, the books, the ministry, everything that God has did. I always say this, God loves the misfit.
Yeah. Hey, George, what's something that you're learning right now, you know, in your walk? Like, you said it about 2.5 years, right?
Yes.
What's something that you could say, hey, man, at 2.5 years, I'm learning this that, you know, maybe you didn't know when you first started?
Walk away from problems. I have patience. I have more understanding.
Nice.
I feel like I'm more loving.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're like,
I'm going to hit you in the face, but softer. Nah, it's like...
I'm kidding. Uh-huh.
My life now is so... We were just talking about that yesterday when I called them and I was in my house. I can't believe how great my life is. Like, I come out, I might do my laundry, get a haircut. By 1, 2 o'clock, I'm home. I don't come back out till the next day. I couldn't stay home.
Before?
It's amazing, man. My life is so peaceful. Every time he calls me, let me guess, you in your recliner? Yeah, I am. I need a new one. I love it. I go to sleep at 8 o'clock at night. I'm up 5 o'clock in the morning.
And then by
5, 6 o'clock, I eat dinner. I don't eat after 7.
Would you say it's a better life? Would you say
it's an awesome life? Great. I would trade it for nothing in the world.
Yeah?
Oh, my God. It's blowing by. I was torturing myself. I was killing myself.
In January, your mom, she goes to be with the Lord.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That was difficult.
That was very... Listen, it's God. I didn't even cry. I didn't cry at the viewing. When I buried her, nothing. I'm at peace. I did God's work. I took care of her.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
I did
and you know where she's at.
She's in a way
better.
She's in a better place than me.
I always tell people our parents don't die, our family members don't die. They just go home with the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, Billy Graham's daughter and grand always say, my daddy went to heaven. My mom went to heaven. My husband went to heaven. So I never say people, I never say my mom died. My mom went to heaven.
Yes. Yeah.
And my mom, see you later. You know what's amazing? My mom was 8 years Jehovah's Witness.
Wow.
She was 8 years Jehovah's Witness. She was sold out for the Jehovah's Witness. And one day he took her out to dinner. Mother's Day dinner. Yep. My mom had seafood and she almost died because she was allergic to shrimp, didn't know. And they rushed her to the hospital because her esophagus and everything locked up and she couldn't breathe. And not even one Jehovah's Witness went to pray for her. And all the Christian bum rushed the hospital and prayed for her.
Yes, indeed.
And my mom had a contact with the Holy Spirit right there and then and left the kingdom home.
Wow. Yep. That's true. I took out for her birthday and I almost killed my own mother.
Hey, listen. So you said 10 books. Is there a favorite one? Like, obviously they're all going to, like, write, God gave you the book, so you wrote them all on behalf of God. But I'm saying, like, sometimes we get into certain projects and we're like, man, this one right here really is the one. Do you have a favorite book of John's?
I think he liked the Nicky Cruz book, Run Baby Run.
He's like, no offense.
That first book was powerful, too.
The first book?
That book was powerful.
So you're excited for the second part?
Yeah, I'm excited for everything because I'm going to be part of it. I'll protect my investment. I can't let nothing happen to this guy.
I'm on page 45.
I can't let nothing happen to this guy.
Yeah.
Nah, I can't. That's the meal ticket.
He is funny.
I'm going to be meal ticket.
That's hey, my listen, meal we got to take, he could open up like a
it's
comedian.
My white cheese.
Okay, for you, any of those books, like, hey, this is my favorite. This is one of my favorite. It was fun writing.
I think for me will be the first book, right? Because that's your baby, right?
Yeah.
The first book. I mean, every book that I have, you know, I'm not a writer. I'll be honest. I'm not a writer and author. Yeah. I just hear God's voice, and I don't type. I just record, and then somebody else type it. But everything from A to Z in every book of mine is just the voice of God speaking
totally
to me.
I totally understand. Yeah.
And putting it on paper. So my first book. I would say that will be the book that really touches because it's your testimony, it's your pain, it's where you came out of, where God delivered you from. It's the providence, the providence hands of God on that book.
Yes.
It's the unseen hand of God in your life.
Yeah, I know because I mean I guess lately the book I've been hearing a lot about, like every time we travel, you know, we have all the books and stuff, and so they'll wind up. I hear a lot of people. Last couple times we were out talking about fire prayers.
Fire prayers, yes.
And so I was like, man, maybe, you know, because obviously I skimmed through it, but there's people that are really like, man, that is my favorite book. Like, they love that book. I mean, even the college that we graduated from. He was
Life
like,
Christian University.
Life Christian University. He was like, yo, that is my favorite book.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that every book, I think people don't get what they want because they don't ask God, right? Because in my life, I was going to Times Square Church.
Yeah.
And I joined the volunteer security ministry. And the last thing I say was God divinely connect me with David Wilkerson. And I would walk him after church. After he preached, I would walk him home or to a restaurant. And Nicky Cruz would come. And I would see the people outside waiting for Nicky Cruz and David Wilkerson to walk out. And they'd be like, Pastor Dave Wilkerson, or Nicky, can I take a picture or sign the book, whatever. So when I seen that, it impacted me, right? So I asked God for it. So I said, Lord, if you give it to them, give it to me. Because you know, the Bible says you don't respect a person. If you ask now, you get not. And then when I saw one time Nicky Cruz was in the back of the church office, he was just fellowshipping with someone. Then he stopped in a minute. He said, let me pray for you. And then I saw in the spirit, I saw how the anointing turned on. And I asked for that too. And then I read Run, Baby, Run. I said, Lord, this book, I mean, you could be a Girl Scout, right? And you read Baby, Run, Run, Baby, Run, and you think you're a gang member. It's like he brings you into the story, you know? I wanted that to be part of my life if I would write a book. Like, I want people to bring the people into the story and let the story impact and transform the person. So
that's really good.
And the writing's over now that I pray and ask God for it. God was generous enough to give me those things. So in the writings, It always been that way. In part two, now the next chapter out of the Devil's Cauldron is October 1st this year is coming out. That's on the other side of the course, which is going to be amazing.
That's really good.
That's going to be like, it's 21 chapters on that book. And 21 chapters, 45,000 words. It's going to be, it's just, you're going to cry, you're going to laugh. That's and it's going to bring you closer to God.
That's really good.
That's the book that we got a tribute from my mom's, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the last, George and I teamed up. And we wrote.
George, the author.
Yeah, he's on the cover.
Hopefully, I get a check in the mail.
Yeah.
He takes great care of me. Bro, listen, he does a great job taking care of me. Man.
Oh, I know. I know.
I don't got no complaints.
If John takes care, usually the person he doesn't know. Like I've been traveled with him enough to kind of see behind the scenes,
behind the
veil, right? And then there's another veil, and I've seen that one too.
Yeah, me too.
And so, yes, sir. And so if he does that for that person, like how much more is he going to take care of his brother? Like at the end of the day.
That's how I'm learning because I've been with him so many places now. And I'll be like, yo, chill, dude.
Yeah.
Yo, he'd be like, don't tell me what to do. I work for Jesus. That's his money.
Because, you know, I mean, play, sit down and hear the voice of God. Yeah. Like, you heard the voice of God,
totally.
Right?
Yeah.
And God said, give something that you had a plan and a purpose for to finish it off, right?
Yeah.
And God, he just flipped the script,
right? Yeah, it just happened, yeah.
It just happened, which is a miracle, right? And the miracle worked both ways, right? Both parties got blessed, right?
Absolutely.
So in my life, I feel like when I'm in a restaurant and God say, give a $500 tip, a $700 tip, I give it.
Every waiter and waitress is waiting for you. They're like, yes.
Bro, it blows me away because right I'm not used to that.
I'm going to go get you a sandwich. He's like,
no, after this, I'm going to drive-thrus.
How about the IHOP? We went to an IHOP.
Yeah.
In Tampa, I think it was Tampa, right? We went to IHOP. And this girl started taking care of us out of nowhere. John was like, let me talk to you. Started getting to a conversation out of nowhere. This is the waitress.
Yeah.
She was living out of her car in the parking lot, and her daughter was in her car while she was working. Her girlfriend would babysit.
Yeah.
Blew me away. John took care of her. She was hysterical crying.
That's usually what happens, right? When somebody encounters
God. What made you
God,
talk to her?
It's the miracle thing. The voice of the Lord.
That's what I'm saying. That's what blows me away.
The voice
man.
Of the Lord.
This is why I'm sold for Jesus, 100%.
I think that's why God is so generous with Pastor Juan, generous with me. Mm-hmm. And not generous, it's not a financial thing. It's a trust thing, right?
Well, yeah, provision is in every area. It's not just
every
finances.
Area, just not finances.
Yeah.
If you're limited to finances, you lose the rest.
Yeah. But and even when he entrusts us with finances and stuff, it's for us to steward that right and actually put it in the places where he wants it to be put.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. One thing, I want to share one quick chapter in that book, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Because I believe that people are struggling with their faith, right? People are struggling. It's not buying the book, because I mean, listen.
But buy the book. I mean,
I always tell people this: read the reviews before you buy the book, right? And if the reviews speak to your life, and then you purchase the book. But there's a chapter in that book that's called "Faith in Dark Times,"
mm-hmm.
right? And I break it down, right, so people can understand and receive, right? Because you can break something down, but if you don't break it down the right way, no one eats. Right?
Yeah.
So I teach the methods of the enemy, right?
Yes.
On that chapter. And a lot of people struggle with their faith, especially when they come across a testing, a trial, tribulation that happens, or something happens out of left field.
Yeah.
People don't know how to handle their faith. They don't know how to work their faith. They don't know how to exercise their faith. They don't know how to apply the faith into their situation.
Yes.
So they crumble, they fall apart, and it takes longer for the person, it takes longer for you to get your victory. Right?
Yes.
So they do like Jonah, right? They have a Jonah moment. If you see the book of Jonah, if Jonah would have been obedient, God spoke to Jonah, right? Told him, go to Nineveh, preach the gospel, and Jonah's book would have been short.
Yes.
Right? But Jonah added more to the chapter.
Facts.
Because Jonah went the other way.
Yes.
By the time God caught up with him, and by the time he got thrown off the board, and by the time the whale swallowed him, and by the time brought him back to the same spot to Joppa where God spoke to him, God didn't drop him at Nineveh.
Yeah.
God dropped him. All that situation took place, right? So I use Michael Felt as a testimony of your faith.
Okay.
Right? Michael Phelps won 28 medals, 23 gold. But the training the training that took place before he got those medals was the coach would let him go in the pool, swim back and forth, turn off the lights of the pool. Once the lights were off the pool, think about it. The coach was teaching him to take, teaching him the strategy,
that's right,
how to swim in the dark, know the pool, know how many strokes, how many laps, how to get to the wall in the dark, how to swim back, back and forth. And then when he got used to that, the coach took his goggles and put pinholes. So when he threw himself in the pool, his eyes were full of chlorine. Couldn't see. His eye, you know, was red. Couldn't see where he was going. But the training kicked in. So really, it's not the devil that turned off the lights. It's God that turns off the lights. To see if you know the size of your faith and you know how to swim in dark times.
Yeah.
And that's good. Need to understand that in order to practice, because the faith needs to grow.
Yeah.
Right? Your faith needs to go forward, right? And people got stagnated faith. They got lukewarm faith, but they don't have that faith that will move you forward and know how to swim in dark times. And one of the last thing of Michael felt, the last gold medal he won, it was in China. He threw himself in the pool. His goggles somehow got chlorine all over. He couldn't see, but the training kicked in. So when the devil turned off the lights on you, and the devil trying to blind you, or the devil trying to take things from you, let your faith kick in and know what kind of faith you got. Because if you know your faith, you know the God you serve. Because faith is known, it's the knowledge of God. And that's how you get the victory.
Yeah, I agree. So I have a book in October. Right? I have a book in October too. Amen. That's crazy. You know, that's God's book. And you know, the premise is that a lot of people want the that's crazy part. Everybody wants the miracle part, but nobody wants to do the that's God part, right? Because in that obedience, that's the that's God part, right? Pastor Nestor and I were talking earlier, and we were like, you know, because we're going through all this stuff right now, the offices.
Two breaks in. You got two break-ins. Yeah. Not one. Two.
Yes. And everything seems like it's falling apart. And the enemy, he's trying to speak to try to take you off course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? And so if God told you to do something, regardless of what's coming, you still do it. Right, you still move forward.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though right now we're like, oh, I don't know. Like, there is a moment where I'm like, can't lean on what I understand. I have to continue to trust God. And we were saying, because you know, I haven't let the big news out, and I'm not yet. But there's something that we're kind of looking at.
It's in the process.
That's in the process that we were talking about. I said, look, here's the thing. In order to buy, let's say we were going to buy a property that was like $20 million. Let's say at some point, you know, that deposit is going to be crazy. Mm-hmm. Right. So you got to kind of work out, you know, you work out, God will have you work out your salvation, work out some things so you can get ready for what's to come, which is kind of what you're saying, because you were saying he trained them in the pool in the dark, and then he trained them with the pinholes in the thing. So he's constantly working out with a weight that's heavier than the regular race, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then when you're ready to step into what God has you to step into, you don't fall apart because you've been actually lifting weights with the Holy Spirit, right? Mm-hmm. So I just think it's really, really important. Rather than chasing, you know, you got to embrace the season you're in. You got to embrace. Like, I'm not, you know, I think Pastor Todd was telling me, I was telling him this morning that he was like, man, your brother George said. He was like, you're calm. You know, you are. I'm like, well, I mean, complaining doesn't do nothing, but it makes you want to smoke. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Not complaining gets you to lean upon what the Lord says. And I get to see what God does, right? Like, this is where you apply scripture. This is where you, what you've been filled with, you start actually doing. If not, what's the whole point of walking?
But now think about it, right? I want to share something, right? You got a book called Prison Break, right?
Come on.
And I want to share this moment, right? It's not about a book, selling a book. It's about reconditioning your mind.
Yes.
Right? Reestablishing your mind, your thoughts, your thinking, right?
Yes.
Because if now I know this book is true.
Yes. You wrote the foreword on that book.
Right. I wrote the foreword in this book, but I know the book is true.
Yes.
Right? Because you didn't fall apart. You didn't get, your mind didn't get incarcerated. But think about it. God allowed people to break into your place, and then you didn't know there was a second breaking coming in.
Facts.
Right? So you say, okay, we got broken in. Okay, everything is okay. You know, we'll rebound from this one.
Yes.
And you're already planning for that one episode. But you don't know there's another episode coming.
Facts.
And then it happened. Yes. Then how do you come out to a place to have a free mind, right? Free thoughts, right? Yes. Still have your peace, still have your joy.
Yes.
And still have the strategies of heaven circulating in your spirit, in your mind, knowing that we're going to go this way. A lot of people, it's not the first punch that the devil gets you. It's the second punch that devil kills you with, yeah, spiritually,
yeah,
right? So in Prison Break, it teaches you how to keep your mind whole, free, complete, yes, right? Filled with the word. Because listen, let me share this last thing.
I love it. Up here, keep talking about the book.
Listen, up here,
I'm like, yes.
Up here, this is a bad neighborhood.
Yeah.
If you don't bring this with you, you don't bring the word of God, the promises of God,
yes,
to this neighborhood,
yes,
you ain't making it out.
Yes.
Because a lot of people walk in this neighborhood by themselves and they fall apart.
I never heard of a bad neighborhood.
Oh, yeah, this is a bad neighborhood. If you don't bring the Holy Spirit with you, if you don't bring the Holy Spirit into this bad neighborhood, you don't make it out.
Amen.
Because you'd be a prisoner in your own mind.
Absolutely.
That's why you need prison break.
Belief drives your behavior. So whether it's, if the enemy can get you to think that the belief you have is true, even, you know, only God's word is truth, right? Jesus is truth. The word is true. But he could get you to think that something is true. And if you believe that it's true, even though it's not true, that's deception. The lie in itself is not the harm. It's when you believe the lie that you're caught up in deception. And now, like, you're mm-hmm. moving in a direction thinking it's true. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, man, look, I'm going to ask you something. Well, both of y'all.
It's false identities.
False identities.
But the devil, that's why people, they and I said it's a lot of love. Right, homosexual people—they dress with a false identity.
Uh oh, I need a pam pam pam. I need button sounds. That was a wah wah. Yeah. Nah, 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 nah,
because nah. In their mind, they've been dressed up that way.
Yeah.
And the false reality became a reality, and they live
yes.
it out.
Yes.
Right. So same thing with people that do drugs. Same thing with people that do witchcraft, like myself.
Yeah.
Same people that live.
They used to.
They used to, right? Right.
They'll take that clip and go viral on YouTube. Yeah, because you can't make no mistakes on this.
Yeah,
I gotta go. Wait a minute.
There's still people saying. There's people saying, "Oh, he's still a warlock." Well, you know, I've been saved for 25 years. I'm gonna be a good actor, right?
Hey, listen, so. It's because now people go off clips or little things. Nobody really wants to get to know the person, or really like talk. You know. I don't know. That's a whole nother segment.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother show. But, okay, so, you know, obviously we got people listening pretty much everywhere. But the bulk of This Is Real is that we're inside the prison system. Like I said, I think we crossed 9 million views or something. And, you know, there's people in prison all across the United States.
Yeah.
So if you had one piece of advice to give them, what would it be, right? Because they're in jail. Some they're just going through everything, right? Some of them might be, you know, wanting to be home with their family. Some of them might still be wanting to get high. Some of them still might be living the same thing. What one piece of advice would you give a person? I'll start with you, George. What one piece of advice would you give?
Give yourself to the Lord.
Give yourself to the Lord.
There's no way out. Without God, you ain't going to make it. I've been there and done that. That's why the day I make it or the day God allow me to run my ministry, I want to preach to the world, but to the youth. Because I walked that walk and I taught that talk. I got over 10,000 pictures from being in prison. You know, I could show them there's a way out. It's God.
Yeah.
God's the answer.
Yeah.
I never had the answer. God did.
God did.
Yeah. Amen. And if you don't follow God, I feel bad for you. I can pray for you and hope you listen or God touches you, because God touches everybody. It's just you. It's your timing to realize when you're being touched. Like me, I went to sleep. I wanted to commit suicide, kill my wife, and kill myself.
Wow.
You know, she would tell me, leave the house. I don't want to be around you no more. I'm going to bring another man into the house.
Wow.
Picture a woman after 24 years of you being married talking to you like that.
Yeah.
Especially to me. To me, from the streets. But then I couldn't do it to my son. I got a 15-year-old son. Now, his father's in jail, or his mother's dead, or I would have killed myself. Now, he got nothing.
So what did you tell them? To accept Jesus?
Accept Jesus.
Give him a chance.
Trust me. Believe me. Trust Jesus. Follow Jesus. That's the only answer and the only way out.
Nice.
Trust me, it works. Look where I'm at now. I used to sleep in crack houses. I was in and out of jail. I used to fall asleep in the streets. I was so high on drugs, crack. I used to put crack on dust,
crack.
Everything. I did it all. Wow. And I'm standing here traveling. I would never get on a plane. And now I travel everywhere with my brother. It's God. God is real.
That's dope. John, final words. What would you tell somebody?
I don't know. I would have to use the testimony of my friend in jail, right? Okay. I got a friend in jail, Son of Sam.
Son of Sam.
44 Hallelujah. Killer. Amen. Now his name is Son of Hope. Wow. Right? He's doing 365 years. And he has more peace, more joy, and more freedom than people that walk in the streets. Right? All because he gave his life to Jesus Christ over Psalms 34. And he became a believer. And today he had won more people for the Lord Jesus Christ because his mind is not incarcerated anymore.
And I remember when he was in Attica, they tried to kill him.
Yep.
They cut him from here to here.
Yeah.
And now people love him. And they follow his ministry.
He has amazing ministry during 365 years. I went to jail to visit him. I pray with him. I did Bible study with him. I lay hands on him, pray with him. And I think, like you said, the book, Prison Break, right? And I share that because it's so such a powerful title.
Yeah.
That this man, he might be doing 365 years in jail, but he's free.
He's more happy than the average man out here. It's amazing.
Well, thank you guys for sharing, man. Thank you guys for sharing your heart. George, man.
Thank you for having me.
We finally got George on here, man.
Yes, man, I am. I appreciate it. I'm overwhelmed. I'm glad to see you. Glad for you having me here. And it's just the beginning.
Hey, listen, they put this thing together.
This is just the beginning. Amazing. I want the world to know this is just the beginning.
I want the world to know East Coast, West Coast. Don't mess around.
That's right. Yo, let's go Yankees.
We want to thank everybody for tuning in, man. Don't forget. You got that book coming out. What's the name of the book again? Out of the Devil's Cauldron.
Yeah, the next chapter.
Look for it on Amazon. We got That's Crazy, No That's God, Prison Break, and then he's got like 9 other books, so I'm not going to remember them all.
I don't remember
them
either.
You can put John Ramirez in the thing. You'll get all his books. Make sure you tell your family to go to YouTube and like and subscribe, you know, to the channel. This is real. And we love you guys. Thank you so much. Keep us in prayer because we got to come up with all our equipment. Something that we, I guess I've been saying because sometimes I forget, but the That's Crazy, No That's God, a lot of the finances of that, we're trying to get a home. If you're out there and you got a home, you want to donate so that the guys can actually, when they come out of prison, we actually want to work with them. And so some of those proceeds, we're going to try to do that. Keep us in prayer for, like, all the equipment and all that we need to get. Again, we love you guys. Thank you so much for continuing to be real ones on This Is Real.
Yes.
And that's a wrap. Thank you so much to all the real ones for joining us every single week. You can be a part of the crew by following us on all our social media outlets. Also, you can write us at P.O. Box 671-626, Houston, Texas 77267. And don't forget, stay real.